It was the Anglo-American alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour. We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Thank you, Sir Elton. Appreciate it. Okay, good evening and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice, and the spirit of the EDL. Tonight's banner for the show, I've got to give great kudos today. English Defence League radio show, Planet 2. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? You'll see in the slides what we're talking about, so you can go through the slides and check it out. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing items of interest that point the finger of shame at the happy-chappy crowd of World Economic Forum. They and their Islamic death cult allies are changing the free world into hell on earth. And we will expose their evil. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course that was by the late great Edmund Burke, a politician in the 1770s. I think he might even be a prime minister. Back in the 1770s. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So, let me just see now while I'm going to unmute my buddy Dave and bring him in and say good evening, Dave, good afternoon, and welcome. And to all of the other listeners and other great people out there in the United States, across the globe. Good evening and welcome. With that, Dave, over to you, buddy.
Thank you, Jeff, and welcome to everyone. We've got quite the show here, and but first, Jeff, I will have you know, sir, that that last song in the play-in was not by Elton John. It was by Jack Mack and the Heart Attack. It is the closing theme song for the movie Police Academy.
Why did I think it was Elton John, Dave?
I don't know.
I just thought it was. Because it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Not to me, but what it does do is it's a great song to pump people up. For instance, what we're talking about tonight, the World Economic Forum people don't think that we're anybody. And that's regardless of who's listening to this. Even if you think they're on your side, they don't think you're anybody. And that song says, I'm going
to... Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
That song says, I'm going to be somebody. And that's the determination to resist. And that's what it's about. And, guys, if you look at the banner picture for the show, when I say they want to make this hell on Earth, they want to make this like... they want to make our beautiful Earth like the planet Venus. And for those of you who can remember back that far, Carl Sagan said in the show he did called Cosmos back in the 1980s that Venus was the one planet in the solar system that is most like hell. And that's what they want for us. Not for them, mind you, but that's what they want for us. Now, what do I mean when I say Venus is most like hell? Well, its atmosphere is consisted largely of carbon dioxide and clouds of sulfuric acid. And its surface temperature is not exactly where you want to go if you don't like it warm. Its surface temperature is 700 degrees Fahrenheit or 390 degrees Celsius. So it's not exactly a spot you want to go to. And I also was inspired to use Venus because the last time the World Economic Forum met was in June. And we did a show then, which was really pretty good. It was called D-Day to Davos. And it just inspired me to use this because Venus's year, the year of Venus, takes about 225 Earth days. So that's about the same amount of time as the World Economic Forum wanted to do its quote-unquote annual its next quote-unquote annual gathering, all right? So that's where a lot of that came from, folks. They want to make it hell on Earth. We don't want to do that. Now, before I begin with all the stuff that we have, Jeff's approved all this, and we're going to go for it. I just want to tell you guys that there's a chat room here. We podcast live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. GMT, and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. Our Jeff's show can be heard both here at blogtalkradio.com and at the TECN.TV radio page. So you have your choices of places to go to hear the show, and of course you can also hear it reflected in some episodes at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com later on in more manageable chunks. But there's a chat room here that you guys can get into and give comments to Jeff. If you want to do that, go to blogtalkradio.com. Look at the White Top Center search box. Type in EDL Radio or English Men's League Radio Show and follow the links. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio and if our show is going live, you too can get in the chat and have a small conversation with Jeff there. All right. Now, Jeff, do you have anybody in chat?
I'm having at the moment. Back to you, Dave.
Well, yeah, you're right. Well, that is, by the way, is our executive producer, Charlie. And, Jeff, do we have anybody in the chat right now? I know we've got Charlie in the background ready to help with the show.
I think Charlie shooed him out. I don't know. Let's have a look, Dave. It's quiet. Come out wherever you are. No, there's no one here, Dave, at the moment. But
all right.
That's
we'll get them.
That's not, we sometimes find that they... You know, they're a little bit late arriving. Sometimes they're spot on, and other times they might be a little bit beyond that. I'm sure that they'll be in and join us any minute, Dave. Back to you, Rob.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, that's why our play-ins are so long. Usually our play-ins are about 5 minutes long to give people time to get into that chat.
Yeah.
So, but
pop
let's...
and make sure the seatbelts are on, like last week. They had their seatbelts on and a pot of popcorn, didn't they, Dave?
Yeah, they did. They did, Jeff. Now, guys, we're going to do stories that not only about the World Economic Forum, but we're going to do stories kind of surrounding it, kind of highlighting the world that they want for the rest of us, they and the people who agree with them, you know, the whole cartel. But one of the things that they've started to do, which shows how they want to remake the world, is that they've started to hand out their own awards for artistry, and music is one of those. They call them the Crystal Awards, and they had some musical entertainment this year, and we're going to get into a little bit of that and give you a preview of next year. So check this out. This is just about 3/4 of a minute long. Check this out, guys. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Here's what went on this year at the World Economic Forum and what you can expect next time. Next time at the World Economic Forum.
Well, there you go. I mean, I didn't know Klaus Schwab could get up that high. Or did someone have him by his short and curlies, babe? Sounded like it, didn't it, mate?
Jeff, I have to admit, I couldn't resist. When I heard that awful stuff that they had for music, it was just terrible. And I thought, okay, this reminds me very much of another thing that I heard, and that second thing, by the way, people, you can look this up on YouTube. It's from the old computer game, Redneck Rampage, and the particular level that you play when you hear that music is called Nut House. So that's just...
Yeah,
and it's about,
I heard also they had naked sword swallowers there as well, Dave. I don't know how true it is, but I'm hearing whispers that Klaus Schwab had invited naked sword swallowers. I don't know why, but there you go. Everybody to their weirdness, isn't it? That lot? I don't know.
I know.
Look, I can't quite honestly say that it's true, but don't be surprised if you do hear some truth of what I just said. Nothing surprised me in this bunch of wallies. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jeff. But yeah, I mean, any excess that they can get up to just to rub our noses in the fact that they're flying in their private jets and having their big party and everything, and it's all crap. It's all crap. It's all basically them wanting to run the world and make decisions for people in all countries, which is exactly the sort of thing that we should be moving away from. And the results of this are predicated in things like the first story we're going to do right now. Okay, guys, this one comes from the 5th of this month, and it's about 3 minutes long. All right, we're going to hit this and go for it. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Food inflation hits record 13.3% in Britain, indicating another difficult year to come. By Kurt Sindelka on January 5, 2023. Food inflation in Britain hit its highest rate in history in December, as Christmas spending soared while consumers actually took home less. According to the British Retail Consortium, BRC, and the Nielsen data firm, annual food prices rose by 13.3% in December, compared to 12.4% in the previous month. The BRC said that this was the largest inflation recorded since they began tracking food prices in 2005. BRC Chief Executive Helen Dickinson said per The Guardian, "It was a challenging Christmas for many households across the UK. 2023 will be another difficult year for consumers and businesses as inflation shows no immediate signs of waning." To put the numbers in context, this year's holiday season saw British households spend £1.1 billion more on groceries in December than they did during the same month last year. While Christmas spending shot to a record £12.8 billion, this was spent on fewer items than last year as a result of the inflated costs. The retail analysis firm said that while overall spending rose by 9%, actual sales were 1% lower than the previous year. The latest reading of overall inflation, set in November, stands at 10.7%, which, while down from 11.1% in October, is still at a nearly a 40-year high and over five times the target of 2% set by the Bank of England. Despite the central bank raising interest rates to the highest level in 14 years, 3.5%, to clamp down on inflation, soaring gas and energy costs kept the inflationary pressure high. As a result, British manufacturers saw further declines in production, with the S&P Global/SIPS UK Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index falling to a 31-month low, declining from 46.5% in November to 45.3% last month, the fifth month in a row to see a contraction. Addressing the issue on Tuesday, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said that his government would seek to cut inflation by half by this year. Yet, it has been noted that this was largely in line with predictions already made by the Office for Responsibility, OBR. Sunak left the timetables for his other promises, including cutting illegal boat migration, open as he admitted that many factors are out of my control. Downing Street later clarified that the pledge to cut inflation by half will be judged from the final quarter of 2023 compared to the last quarter of 2022. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
Ugh. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, if you...
Yeah, it's a nice little thing to cheer us all up who live over here, Dave. You're probably seeing the same sort of inflammatory prices over in the States as well. It's a terrible time. I mean, I don't think we've seen a time like this before. Even back in the 70s when we had all the strikes. We've got strikes now, but I don't know. This has got to be 30%. I don't think we've ever rose to that before. I can't remember. There could have been a time, Dave, but it's pretty frightening. For people like myself, the ordinary, just the pensioner, many millions of us, how it makes us worry and very concerned about the future, doesn't it, Dave? Don't know where it's going to go. Of course, this country's always had a way of getting over issues, but I think it's going to be this, whatever they're calling it or not, I would say that this is a recession, isn't it, Dave? Due to inflation, it's called a recession. Let me pass it back to you. Are we in a recession, Dave? Because I'm not sure. Maybe you can explain a bit.
Thank you, Jeff. And it really depends on who you talk to, but a lot of top economists are saying that we're headed for recession, if not depression, because you are right. We're getting inflated prices here in the United States as well, and I'm sure that this is going on all across the planet. It has to do largely with the failure of a lot of the policies of a lot of these participants of the World Economic Forum. They want to take our world economies into a direction which will basically end up not with socialism, but with communism, with a collective state that just hands out what they think people should have without giving people a chance to use their own initiative to move ahead. And there are going to be disruptions in economy based on this. No, Jeff, you're right. That is a big inflationary jump. And if things aren't done to correct this, it's going to get worse. The pound, the dollar, the franc, all of these currencies, the Deutsche Mark, don't buy what they used to. And that is reflected in this. And the bad thing about it is it's food. I mean, this is something that impacts all ordinary people. It doesn't impact the people at the Global Economic Forum, mind you. They're chomping on nice beef steaks and having all this great food and everything. But they want us to eat bugs, and that's part of where this is going. It's also reflected, Jeff, in their quote-unquote green policies. You have food processing companies in France, for instance, having to shut down most of their plants and lay off most of their workers, while also in France, the energy prices there have gone up tenfold. Now, guys, imagine, let's just say that over in the UK, you have a 100-pound electric bill every month, and over here in the States, you've got a $200 electric bill every month. Let's just say that that's the norm. Now, what would happen next month if you opened up the envelope and from your electric company over here in the States, and that was a $2,000 electric bill? Or if you opened up, or if you did the same thing in the UK, and it was and it was instead of, 100 pound, 1,000 pounds, you'd have to really make some hard adjustments. And in France right now, they're headed towards a food crisis, and other countries are going to follow if some real progress isn't made, and some of these policies aren't abandoned. Jeff, do you have anything before we can move on next, or is there anything in the chat?
Yeah, I just want to let you know Bigfoot's giving us a wave and he's saying, hi Jeff and Agador. And so I kept coming in and having a look to see if you was there, Bigfoot. Good to see you this evening, brother, and I hope you're keeping well. So there you go, Dave. You can, Bigfoot's place. Oh, Dave, I always get it. I'm sorry, Bigfoot. All these years and I still can't pronounce it right. My apologies, brother. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Bigfoot's place, but see, I didn't do it right. Bigfoot's place. Bigfoot's place. Blogspot.com is where Bigfoot has his blog, and you can go there, read it. It's pretty good. All right, welcome, yeah. Biggie. Appreciate you being there, and appreciate
good
everyone.
Good to see you, isn't it? Good
yeah, appreciate
you.
Everyone that's in the chat. And now, guys, we're going to go on. This, to me, is the biggest bit of news to come out of this meeting of the World Economic Forum, because so much of the rest of it is just garbage. They basically stand around and talk about how they're great and everybody should listen to them and they should rule the world and all this other junk. But policy does come out of this, including the policy that we got a problem guy talks about here. He did this one, by the way, on the 18th of this month. Give this a listen. This will be about 2.25 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Well, guys, as you might know, the globalist tosspot loving has begun over in Davos, where these private jet flying ponces will discuss ways to remove your rights, ban your petrol cars, and make you eat the bugs. I would call them hypocrites, but really their plans have always been to push this on the peasants while they fly, drive, and holiday to their heart's content. This will be controlled with digital IDs that our government is now consulting on, and the little meet-up in Davos appears to show us how it will work. Here you can see a tweet from a journalist apparently attending the Davos event that states, "Everyone at the World Economic Forum's annual meeting, including journalists and participants, has to take a PCR test upon arrival. If you don't take a test, the chip in your ID badge is deactivated. If you test positive for COVID, the badge is also deactivated."
This fascist crap makes me want to puke.
"So if you don't comply, your access is revoked, and if you test positive, the same applies. this, as you likely know, is how digital IDs can and will be used against the general public in future. I mean, how else will they implement their 15-minute city district bullshit and monitor your carbon footprints to sell you some carbon credits? You use too much energy or try to go on holiday, your digital ID will block you from going without the required social or carbon credits. You want to visit your granny in another part of the city, you'll have to take the bus as private cars are banned for you peasants. This will also require constant digital tracking, which means digital ID evolves into our very own social credit system. What a wonderful future these unelected tosspots are creating for themselves at our expense.
I love that old broad. Welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, that's the big news, in my opinion, from the World Economic Forum. What are your views, brother?
Yeah, I've been hearing it the last couple of days. I'm listening to the WBN 324, and they've all been talking about it. So, yeah, it's not surprising, the bullshit coming out of their day. I think it was expecting something like that, just want us to digitalise and all that so they can scan us and they can treat us like the plebs like they think we are. It's going to be a big kickback for them. I don't think they quite understand it, or maybe they can see it coming. I think it's going to come as the biggest shock when it actually does arrive. That's all I'm going to say. You know, there's a lot of people not very happy with these 1%ers who think they can rule the world. Well, take it from me, it takes millions of people to run our world, not a couple of plebs, a few plebs up there who's too rich to even talk about it. Or they want to talk about it and say, look what I've got, look what you got, you're going to eat bugs, you are. You know, I mean, Dave, this is the world it's always been. There's them and there's us. And us outnumber them by about 1 million, 2 million to 1. And they're just a minority, really. So I mean, they can be gone and be dusted just like that, really, in the wider world. And there's supposed to be people. I'm hearing it from everybody that they're really not happy with the way the world is turning. I do think there's going to be some serious changes in not too distant future. I don't think it's going to benefit them. It's going to come crashing around them. But they'll enjoy their going on these jet planes, travelling near there for a little time. Yeah, not too much, but they can travel about, show off. Oh, Billy Big Box is out there on his plane again. Yeah, excuse my language, gentlemen, but it's just the way we talk about these people. Are just it's almost, I don't know, it's depravity, isn't it, to have the money like them and treating us all as though we're just peasants. Sorry, Dave, I mean, I want to say a lot more than I could, but I won't, because it's a family show. Back to you, Dave.
Well, there's no reason to apologize, Jeff. It is your show, and you're spot on with everything you said. Yeah. First of all, Billy Big Bucks, I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to steal that. I hope you don't mind.
I'm going to steal Billy Big Bollocks, I said, Dave.
Oh, excuse me. All right, well, I may steal both of them then. But at any rate... Hey, you know, if you're going to be a decent thief, always steal the best is what I say. Okay, so, but as I said, this is really the big news that comes out of this, because yes, they've been all through the Wuhan virus adventure, and that comes from Neil Oliver, by the way, the COVID adventure is what he calls it. Neil Oliver is a great commentator as well. In his own right, his monologues are epic. Okay, they began this stuff heavily during the Wuhan virus adventure, you know, and it's been going on for a few years. Just like in that tweet, basically, you know, it was, well, did you get a jab? Okay, you know, we're going to put this on your digital Wuhan ID thingy, you know, and you're good to go. Just as the We Got a Problem guy has said, they can use digital ID to implement a social credit system like they have in China without even implementing a social credit system like they have in China. They can regulate the way you live right down to whether or not you get credit for buying snacks. You know, if you buy too many snacks, in their opinion, they'll be able to ramp down your internet speed, for instance. You know, your ability to travel might be constricted if you use too much gasoline in your automobile. All right, there are all sorts of ways that they can control people with digital ID, and it really is the mark of the beast. Now, over here in the States, some time back, and I did discuss this with Ken McClinton, with whom I do a Thursday night in the U.S. and Friday morning in the U.K. segment on TECN.TV on the Exceptional Conservative Show. By the way, you can hear that live at about 2 a.m. on Fridays in the U.K. and after 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States on Thursdays on the Exceptional Conservative Show. And you can catch it on Ken's Rumble page, and that is available through the link that we have on our own English Defense League radio show page right here at blogtalkradio.com. Now, after all that shameless plug stuff, what we discussed...
No, it's yeah, good, Doug.
Had to do it. What we discussed was, for American conservatives, you might remember that there was a good deal of noise made some years back about the fact that we need a national ID to make sure that American citizens can vote and that American citizens get what American citizens deserve as American citizens, and it'll distinguish us from the illegal aliens. Yeah, well, and my view of all of that today is, well, so what? That's because illegal aliens are getting all of the benefits and more of United States citizens, just as they're getting all the benefits and more of citizens of the UK. And they're even beginning to be allowed to vote in the United States in certain areas. And that's just going to spread. So there's less and less incentive there for a national ID, a digital ID, anything of that nature. I think one of the things you're going to see, Jeff, with this, if they try and push it, and they are going to try and push it, is a huge, huge black market that is going to come up for everything.
Oh, yeah.
from food to you know, from proper food, I guess you'd say, to snacks, to all sorts of things that people will be able to, will have to get on the down low, because they don't want to use these stupid digital IDs. But that's been the really big story to come out of the World Economic Forum. And Jeff, I'm going to toss it back to you if you have any more comments or if there's anything out of the chat that we need to hear.
Well, I was just going to say it's almost time for the, what we used to call the old spivs. You know, can get anything. Well, I must call myself a bit like that when I lived in London, because I could get hold of anything for anybody back then. But it's a bit changed now. I've lost the contacts I used to have. But, you know, as you say, Dave, we can see, not too far away, a black market, and you'll be able to buy whatever you want, and you won't be charged the heavens, you know? Because everybody's going to be doing it. I mean, and they're trying to kill us off. Either eat or eat. This is how it seems like that they've been pushing. But then they give you a little bit of money, you know, 500 quid. And I suppose that's going to sort it out over the next 12 months or so. If it's going to be all right, you have 500 quid. Yeah, it works out all right for a couple of weeks, but that soon goes away. Yeah, as I say, I can see, Dave, that was a great, what you said there, and I agree with every word you said. So I'm going to pass it back to you, mate. Thanks, mate.
Well, Jeff, I want to get something from you here, because you gave me a figure while you and I were talking, just off the show, kind of. And if you don't mind, now if you do, you don't have to. This is personal information. But people need to know how bad, people in other countries need to know how bad it's getting for folks in the UK right now. Can you tell people about how much you're spending on gas at this point?
Oh, my God. Put it this way, I would suppose that this week I'm going to end up putting maybe £40 in the gas. So it's ready to go some more, so there'd be 20 quid going now. That'll last me 3 days. Then I'm going to have to stick another, I might have to stick another 10, £15 in. So it might end up next week, 60 quid. 60 quid. And I'm a pensioner, ladies and gentlemen. That's taking food out of my money so I can keep the place warm and have a bath and the hot water. So that this is just me. And there's millions of us old age pensioners across this country who are not sure what to do, and they're just struggling along. So there you go. I hope that enlightens you, Dave, because we did talk a few days ago about that. I told you, went, wow. I said, yeah, that's what it's like. So yeah, £20. This is it. Look at it this way. Ladies and gentlemen, take my home for 3 days. Cost me over £20. Three, that's how much it lasts. 3 days. So you work it out. 7 days. Well, you work out the figures yourself, guys. You know, I've always got a little bit that they give you, like to see you over to the next time you get your money. So, yeah, it's hard going. And I really don't know over the next couple of weeks how I'll be doing it, because I think the electric could kick in as well. So, sadly, I don't know what to do. With that, Dave, I've got to pass it back to you, because it's a worry. It's been playing on my mind. Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, Jeff, don't apologize. It's your show, and this is a vital concern to a large segment of the population of the UK. But basically, people, what Jeff is talking about is £50 a week just on gas. Now, it doesn't even touch electric or any other payments, any other utility payments or anything like that that might have to pay. That's ridiculous. That's, you know, you're talking here about £200 per month. And for U.S. dollars, figure about 175 or so American dollars per month. And it's not, you know, it's not that easy to get that kind of scratch up, especially if you're on a fixed income like both Jim and I are. So this is the kind of thing that these green policies bring. And I wanted Jeff just to give you guys that one example. And Jeff is not a spendthrift when it comes to gas. He dresses warm inside and things of that nature. You know, he's not walking around in his Bermuda shorts, you know, you know, and that kind of thing.
I've nearly frozen a couple of times leaving the gas off, Dave. I've gone to bed freezing feet, and it's taken me ages to warm up, and I'm not a well person as it is. I spoke to you about it, Dave. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, people like myself are suffering serious hardships out here. You know, we're doing our best. We're hanging in there. But in the God in the grace of God, we continue. It's desperate times. I would say that, because I'm talking about personal experience. I'm talking about it, about the rest of the pension. You know, and not only that, young mums bringing up their kids, how they're going through it, through banks, this, that, and the other. This is a nightmare scenario that we've been put into, and I don't know the best way out of it. I don't know what to do or how they're going to get us out of it. They need to, because there's going to be trouble. There will be trouble. Back to you, Dave.
Well, yeah, you're right, Jeff. And the worst thing about it is it's a nightmare that didn't need to happen. This whole green policy thing, There's enough oil and gas, guys, to last for at least the next 100 years. But they don't want that because they don't want people driving private cars. They want to keep people controlled and things of that nature. And this is just a horror. This is killing people off just in the same way that they did with the Wuhan virus. But there's another aspect to all these things that goes on, guys, and that is the political correctness. Because the one thing that they fear, these World Economic Forum happy boys and girls fear, is a united people. So they have to drive us apart. And the best method that they can do that with is political correctness. And we're going to hit another story right now that addresses that. Okay, this is going to be about 2.5 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
BLM culture war continues as school named for naval hero Drake renamed, by Jack Montgomery on January 10, 2023. The Black Lives Matter-inspired culture war on Britain's history is continuing as a school named for English naval hero Sir Francis Drake is set to be rebranded after bosses decided he sat at odds with the values of our school. Drake, who lived from 1540 to early 1596, is best remembered as a great seaman who circumnavigated the globe and saved his country from invasion by defeating the infamous Spanish Armada. But earlier in life he had been involved in the slave trade, at the time an accepted norm not just in Europe but in Africa, Asia, and the Americas. Nevertheless, the governing body of Sir Francis Drake Primary School, roughly equivalent to an American elementary school, in Sadiq Khan's London has decided that the slave trade links associated with the current name sat at odds with the values of our school and they will therefore be changing it to Twin Oaks Primary, supposedly with the backing of most pupils, parents, and nearby residents who responded to a consultation on the name change. How free and fair this consultation process really was is somewhat questionable. However, as newsletters published on the school's website prior to the consultation said it had already made the decision to rename our school, with children being given lessons on Drake so that they can understand the reasons behind its decision and teachers working closely with them on what our school's new name should be. Some of the lessons described in subsequent newsletters included reading, a story all about a character that travels to a land that doesn't belong to them and is very disrespectful, suggesting the highly ethnically diverse school population's decision to back the name change may not have been free of teacher influence. Britain is blessed with an abundant and fascinating history, but we are now destroying all traces of it merely to satisfy a handful of year zero activists sitting in self-righteous judgment of our past, said Robert Pohl, of the Save Our Statues campaign, in comments to Breitbart London on the move. And, yet again, we see them imposing their divisive ideology through impressionable young children who, like turkeys voting for Christmas, will be the ultimate losers when their history and collective national identity is erased, he added. Follow Jack Montgomery on Twitter, at Jack Montgomery. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
Turkeys voting for Christmas. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Daniel Van Mitchell. Jeff, your views.
Well, there you go. It just goes to show you that they're trying to take away, you know, everything that Francis Drake was a hero. He was playing bowls at the time when the news came over that the Armada was on its way. He put his bowls down. He just gathered himself together and he went to battle and defeated the Spanish Armada. This was a true hero, but not with what the teachers are teaching these kids. That he had some form of, slavery or something like that. To me, he saved our country. I suppose the next thing is that they want to remove Sir Winston Churchill for something he might have said in his memoirs. Sadly, this is the time that we live, time of political correctness and a time of indecisions, because I feel disgusted that this country has turned away from people and basically put them in the bins of history as though these people should never existed. And I feel really upset inside to think of heroes like Sir Francis Drake. He'd be rolling in his grave now, wouldn't he? Be turning his grave now, ladies and gentlemen, as many other people would be. But hopefully, there will be a turn for change. So sadly, we've got to go down this stupid path which they're leading good people as country. Trouble is, the brainwashing sets in. The teachers, they're so good at it, aren't they? Yes, the Marxist bunch, they are. But that is it. You know, the only way you get your kids to learn about these things is take them out of the schools, take them home, privately learn them. Stuff the school and the education what they're offering, because otherwise they'll turn out of school as, you know, basically like tools to work for them, you know, Antifa and all that lot. This is what you're going to see if you let the kids carry on doing what they do. Back to you, Dave.
Well, that's fantastic, Jeff. And yeah, it's the same thing here in the States with the influence of the schools. And it part of that is, well, over here, the 1619 Project, which they claim they're not teaching now. The various teachers, organizations and things claim they're not teaching it, but I have a feeling they're teaching it on the down low. And there's a video version of that available for streaming. I'm not going to say where it's available from because it's all complete crap. It's all basically race pimping and things of that nature. And it's meant to push us away from each other so that we can't unite and fight the people who want to take away our liberties and our freedoms. That was a great quote out of that story. It's like turkeys voting for Christmas. These young people, they're young, they're impressionable. They feel they want to do well. They want to be noble. They want to be a generation that does the right thing. But they're getting such horrible information. And they don't realize that they're condemning themselves and their children and their grandchildren to living under tyranny. So this is what we have.
They're all going to be wiped out under that. Am I right, Dave?
Yes, you are, Jeff. You are. And guys, the size of the cartel, it starts with places like the World Economic Forum. But it gets its tentacles into everything. And that's what we're going to do for the next story here, guys. It goes to a dark place, which should be a place of light. Jeff, do we have anything in the chat before I hit this one?
Yeah, bear with me a second, guys. We're just having a look now, just to see. No, it's Bigfoot's quiet at the moment. I'm sure if he wants to say something, he sure will, Dave. So with that, back to you, buddy.
All right, this will be the last story before our break, guys. This comes from the 11th. As I say, the cartel has gone to a dark place, which shouldn't be a dark place. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Woke Church of England unveils £100 million reparations-style fund to apologize for slavery ties. By Kurt Sindelka on January 11, 2023. The Church of England announced that it has committed £100 million in a reparations-style package to make up for its role in the historical slave trade, a practice which it helped abolish in the Western world. The Anglican Church, which was one of the first established churches to campaign for the abolition of slavery, announced a series of measures on Tuesday that it intends to embark upon to compensate for its historic links to the transatlantic slave trade. The move, which came in response to a report commissioned by the church that detailed shameful ties to slavery, will see some £100 million from its coffers handed out on race-based initiatives such as an impact investment fund which will seek to create a better and fairer future for all but in particular families descended from victims of the slave trade. This at a time as parish churches, many of them historic buildings, are struggling with upkeep and even retaining members, with some 1,000 having closed in the last 30 years, 400 of them in just the last decade. More research into the role of the church in slavery will also be funded by the £100 million, including examining local cathedrals and parishes which may have directly or indirectly benefited from the practice. Next year, a new oversight group will also be established to work with the church commissioners to ensure this work is done sensitively and with accountability. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Justin Welby, said, the full report lays bare the length of the church commissioner's predecessor fund with transatlantic chattel slavery. I am deeply sorry for these links. It is now time to take action to address our shameful past. Only by obeying the command in 1 John 1:6-7 and addressing our past transparently can we take the path that Jesus Christ calls us to walk and face our present and future with integrity. It is hard to do this at a time when resources in many parishes are so stretched. But by acting rightly we open ourselves to the blessing of God, he claimed. Welby has previously come under criticism for inserting his apparent left-wing political sensibilities into church business on issues ranging from illegal immigration to climate change, even controversially claiming that God is gender-neutral. Though the Co officially apologized for its historic role in the slave trade in 2006, the groveling has only continued, with church leaders issuing a second apology during the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement in Britain following a police killing of a black man thousands of miles away in the United States. Welby himself has also taken to prostrating himself before the woke mob, previously apologizing for coming from privilege in a place of power as a white person in this country, although he has notably declined to vacate his own influential position to make way for an ethnic minority peer. The Archbishop would go on to declare that there is no doubt when we look at our own church that we are still deeply institutionally racist. Let's just be clear about that. Responding to the announcement of the latest woke move by the Established Church of England, Reverend Calvin Robinson, a deacon in the Free Church of England, which sticks to more traditional Christian teachings, said, Welby apologizes again and commits £100 million towards woke virtue signaling. The idea of reparations is ridiculous. The Christian abolitionists initiated and organized the abolition movement. They ended slavery. This money could be spent funding parishes in dire need of support. Robinson, who is of mixed-race heritage, went on to note that 19th-century English politician and leading abolitionist William Wilberforce was motivated to end the slave trade by a desire to put Christian principles into action and to serve God in public life. Indeed, following the passage of the Act for the Abolition of the Slave Trade in 1807, which was championed by Wilberforce, the Royal Navy captured an estimated 1,600 slave trade ships, freeing some 150,000 African slaves in the process. Some 1,587 British servicemen in the West Africa Squadron lost their lives fighting to end slavery between 1830 and 1865. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
Yeah. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, hey, what do you think?
Well, they're just a load of hypocrites, you know, talk about reparations. We paid enough reparations with the men that fought against this. And we led the way, the same as the United States. We led the way. And, you know, how dare they? We've done that. The problems that was there, we solved. Because there was no one else going to solve it, us and the Americans. We did it. We did it together. And they wanted reparations because of the slaves. This happened hundreds of years ago. This just didn't happen yesterday. I mean, all this about reparation, £100 million. Think of that, Dave, and I think you're giving something like that in America as well. I mean, I just can't believe that we live in these crazy, crazy times. It's dull, it's dim, it's stupid. 100 million could feed families right the way across this country, and old age pensioners as well. Maybe pay some of their gas and electric bill. How about that? What about that for you archbishops out there? Don't think about us, do you? No. Let's pay a lot of money because we care. We've got the money there. Yeah, well, the church is falling in disrepute. The church should all be gone soon. It'd be a terrible country. I should be so proud of my churches. But anyway, look, Dave, I'm going off on one. I don't want to because, you know, time goes too quick when I'm on a rant. But I'm sorry, but put it this way, it boils my urine. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff, and you may want to go ahead and call back in because it's time. And in the meantime, just before we play our break tune, I just want to say, yeah, Jeff absolutely has a point. If the Church of England wants to get butts back in the pews, the last thing they need to do is this woke nonsense or this politically correct nonsense, which is what I would call it. Okay? This is not the way to get this thing done, and it's not the way to get the message out, because the people don't believe in the message. All right, you're trying to run a church, and you're trying to get people back into the church. Okay, how about teaching Christian teachings? Okay, how about teaching Christian philosophy and universal love for people? Not basically a policy that says, all right, yeah, we got some money here, which was donated to us by a majority of the British people. But hey, if you're the wrong color and you come to us for help, you can hit the bricks. All right, that's just not the right way to do things. There needs to be a revolution, a revolution of thought, certainly, and that's what our break tune is going to be, guys. We're going to be back in about 3.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back to the English Century Radio Show with your host, Jeff Digerman Mitchell. What do you get, Jeff?
Yeah, no, I mean, you listen to the words that Alec put there. If you listen, if you see, heard him singing, what he's talking about is revolution. And it seemed just right that that's played at this time when we're talking about despair, what's going on. And as I say, it does make you feel there needs to be a big shake-up of what's going on. We need to put things right. And it seems like those in power just want us to suffer. And it feels that way, you know, the high percent that you don't hear too much about, that they're in control of what's going on. They need to feel what it's like themselves. They need to be put in that space where we are. And as I say, the song Revolution really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Dave? I'm not implying anything, I'm just saying, doesn't it make a lot of sense? Back to you, Dave.
Well, yeah, Jeff, and that's why we're here. That's because we're a part of the revolution of thought, which is the biggest threat to the World Economic Forum Happy Boys and all their little servants and everybody else that they've got fooled into believing their garbage. Right? We're standing in their way. And guys, until Jeff and I break down so damn much we can't do our shows anymore, we're still going to stand in the way. But we're going to do that. All right? And with that, my friends, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to ask Jeff to check the chat, see if Biggie is saying anything or if there's anybody else in there. And we're going to go ahead with this next story here.
Okay. Biggie's just sitting here listening to the show. I hope you're enjoying the show, by the way, Bigfoot. It's really got to us both tonight, some of the stories that we're coming across. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying what we're doing, buddy. Back to you, Dave.
All right. Yeah, now, one of the ways that these happy boys and girls are trying to reshape the world is through uncontrolled immigration. And that's the story that we're going to run right now. This comes from the 12th of this month. And check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Open Borders Ireland. Green government minister says migrants fleeing climate change must be let in. By Peter Cattell on January 12, 2023. Ireland must prepare to grant asylum to migrants supposedly fleeing climate change. A government minister from the Green Party has declared. Roderick O'Gorman, Ireland's controversial minister for children, has declared that his country must make preparations to allow in a large number of migrants supposedly fleeing from the effects of climate change. While Ireland has already been pursuing a relatively open borders approach when it comes to the issue of Europe's ongoing migrant crisis, the suggestion that it starts allowing climate migrants to stay in the country has shocked even some of the Irish government's own ministers. Speaking to the Irish Examiner, O'Gorman emphasized that he believed that both Ireland and Europe at large will see a significant rise in the number of asylum seekers over the coming years, declaring that the country must now start making preparations to allow in climate migrants. I think all of Europe is going to have to expect more migration, more inward migration, he told the paper. Parts of Europe have experienced very significant amounts in the last decade. By and large, Ireland has been receiving relatively small amounts, and I think it's likely that that's going to change. He went on to say that he would like to see climate migrants become a self-defined category within the asylum process, but that such arrangements would need to be made at an international level. That's something international law is going to have to grapple with because they are not economic migrants in the traditional sense. Some of them are fleeing a place that no longer exists, or at least may no longer be habitable for humans. He went on to suggest. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine early last year, Ireland's progressive government has taken a radically open borders approach to migrants and refugees, allowing in a total of around 70,000 into a country of just 5 million people. However, suggestions that the country should begin taking in climate refugees on top of this influx have shocked even some of those within Ireland's pro-open borders government. with many outside the Irish Green Party saying that the country simply does not have the capability to deal with the additional influx. It is making policy on the hoof, and introducing an entire new category of person entitled to international protection, one government MP, Charlie Flanagan, remarked, adding that the suggestion was far outside the coalition agreement for government. It comes at a time during which we are struggling to cope with the numbers of people coming into the country, either as refugees from Ukraine or seeking international protection, he went on to say. Flanagan's sentiment that Ireland is now beginning to struggle under its own open borders commitments has been echoed by the country's Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, who has now publicly warned that the island nation is running out of places to put the large number of new arrivals. According to the Irish Times, Varadkar has noted that the country's ability to look after migrants is now wearing thin, and that Ireland was simply not in a position to guarantee accommodation to everyone who arrives in the country. That's just the reality of the situation. We will do the best that we can for people, provide them with shelter as best we can, provide children with education, the Prime Minister said. But what I can't do here is guarantee that we will be able to find accommodation for everyone who might arrive in the country, whether it's from Ukraine or elsewhere. Follow Peter Cattle on Twitter, @Peter_Cattle. Follow Breitbart London on Facebook, Breitbart London.
And welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, who I'm sure is going to unmute his microphone and tell us what he thinks about all of this. Yes, he's going to do that right now. No, he's not going to do that right now. So I'll let you know what I think. Jeff may be a bit distracted at this point. So I'm going to let you guys know how what I think about this. And this is, once again, how the World Economic Forum happy boys and girls are using this global warming garbage, this global warming nonsense, to try and change the world. And they're using it now as excuses to move migrants into nations that don't want them, quite frankly, and can't house them. You just heard Ireland's PM talk about how they don't have room for them. And yet, this clown who is in charge of children, which that practically gives me nightmares right there, is saying they need to be brought in because they're escaping climate change, quote unquote. Well, okay, I thought global warming was going on everywhere. So if you go along with their philosophy, that means there's nowhere to run. Unless somehow they've discovered space travel, which they haven't. So the entire idea is completely ridiculous, and it's just another excuse to jam more people who don't care anything about the local culture or the local laws or anything of that nature into those places. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. There you go, Jeff. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I had to go put my electric blanket on, and you know, that walk from my front room to the bedroom, as you know, I was talking about it before the show. I've got some issues that I'm had to deal with, so apologies about not being a heads up on that straight away. So I've lost that. All I know is that they want to invite more people into the country, and there's a lot of controversy over that. I heard earlier when I was listening to WBN 324, and there was an Irish gentleman on our host talking about the issue. It was really quite interesting, so brought me up to a bit of speed. It does seem we are suffering from this problem. Not just in the UK, but across in Ireland as well. So this is a problem that needs to be solved one way or the other. Let me pass it back to you, Dave, so I'm still catching my breath. My apologies, mate.
Well, again, Jeff, nothing to apologize for. Guys, we're going to run one last story and then close up the shop for today. But, yeah, this is... this is going right along with what the World Economic Forum wants. And they're going to use this non-scientific global warming crapola to try and manipulate people. That's one of their tools. Quote-unquote public safety is another one of their tools. These are the things that we have to resist as people. And all you have to do is say, no, I'm not going to do it, whatever it is. Just say, no, I'm not in it. I'm not doing it. Okay? And it can be hard sometimes, but it's not going to change unless the people as a whole say to these people, no. Because one thing for sure, they can't put us all in jail. Now, we're going to go ahead and run the final story for this show. And guys, in the script, I talked about the Islamic death cult allies of the World Economic Forum. And one of the things, we've discussed Islam many, many times on this program. Jeff has hosted many shows on this. And what we're going to hear about is yet another aspect of it, and that is the treatment that women can expect under Islam. Right, and this story here is about 6 minutes long, guys. So this one is of great interest for those people who think that Islam is a religion of peace and love. It may be, but only for a select few. Kind of like the World Economic Forum's peace and love, only for a select few. Check this out. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Senior Taliban Terrorist Promises Permanent Solution to Women's Education by Francis Martel on January 4, 2023. Taliban Interior Minister Sirajuddin Haqqani, a seasoned terrorist with a $10 million FBI bounty on his head, told United Nations officials on Monday that the jihadis would soon offer a reasonable and permanent solution regarding girls' and women's education. The Taliban, a Sunni radical jihadist organization, strongly opposes women's rights. The jihadists governed Afghanistan throughout the 1990s, maintained a guerrilla insurgency against the U.S.-backed government during the 20 years of the Afghan War, and returned to power in August 2021 after then-President Ashraf Ghani fled the country. Ghani took a helicopter out of Afghanistan upon learning the news that the Taliban had reached the nation's capital, Kabul, and still claims to be the legitimate head of state of the country despite residing in the United Arab Emirates, UAE. The Taliban's return to power was facilitated by leftist President Joe Biden announcing in early 2021 that he would not respect the terms of an agreement his predecessor Donald Trump had brokered with the Taliban and extend the two-decade-old American military presence in the country from its May 1, 2021, deadline into September. Biden ultimately withdrew troops from Afghanistan in August after the Taliban, in response to the deal being broken, launched a national attack against the demoralized Afghan armed forces, which ceased to exist upon the Taliban's takeover of Kabul. Shortly after the Taliban's return to power, its top spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid told reporters that the terrorists would respect girls' and women's rights to an education, prompting positive responses from the United Nations and other international actors. Taliban leaders took little time to break that promise. The Taliban took over Afghanistan on August 15, 2021. By August 24, Mujahid was ordering all women and girls to stay home until further notice as much as necessary, an order the Taliban has yet to revoke. The Taliban announced it would ban all girls over the age of 6th grade from going to school in March 2022. In November, authorities banned women from colleges, claiming too many women were not wearing fundamentalist Islamic garb appropriately and otherwise violating its extremist interpretation of Sharia, or the Islamic law. The Taliban has also since banned women from working for humanitarian aid organizations. The move prompted dozens of women to take to the streets of Kabul to protest, which the Taliban responded to by sending thugs to beat the women in the street. That decision also resulted in an exodus of humanitarian aid funding and UN money, which appears to have triggered conversations with supporting global agencies on the matter. The Taliban-controlled Victor News Agency reported on Tuesday that Interior Minister Sirajuddin Haqqani discussed the topic with the head of the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan, UNAMA, Marcus Potsel, and promised a solution. For his part, Interior Minister Haqqani said in this meeting that the leadership of the Islamic Emirate thinks for the well-being of the people and is committed to it, Victor relayed. He added that efforts are being made to solve the problems and a reasonable and permanent solution is being worked on, to be consistent with Sharia rules and the culture of our people. The propaganda outlet did not offer any details as to what a reasonable and permanent solution, consistent with Sharia rules, would look like. Victor claimed that Potsel thanked Haqqani, a wanted terrorist, and other leaders in the Interior Ministry for their cooperation and the improvement of the security situation in addition to concerns regarding girls and women in school. UNAMA confirmed the meeting on Tuesday but stated only that Potsel conveyed the international community's call to lift bans on work and education for women and girls. The ban on Afghan women aid workers will deepen the humanitarian crisis, creating greater economic misery and further Afghanistan's isolation, UNAMA stated. A spokesman for the Interior Ministry, Abdul Nafi Takur, later said of the meeting that Haqqani vowed efforts are underway to address the problem, referring to girls and women having a right to education, according to the Afghan news site Tama Press. As Interior Minister, Sirajuddin Haqqani maintains outsized control of the decision-making regarding women's access to daily life in Afghanistan. Haqqani is a senior member of the namesake Haqqani Network, the terrorist bridge organization connecting the Taliban to al-Qaeda, and is believed to have been harboring al-Qaeda chief Ayman al-Zawahiri when American forces eliminated him in a drone strike in a wealthy Kabul neighborhood last year. Reports indicated at the time that Zawahiri was staying in a Haqqani property and regularly took air on its balcony with no disguise. Shortly after the Taliban took over the country, U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price falsely claimed that the Haqqani network and the Taliban were separate entities with no relation. The Taliban subsequently placed multiple Haqqani family members in ministry positions. Sirajuddin Haqqani has previously not indicated that he is open to any compromise with the international community on human rights. In remarks following Zawahiri's killing in August, Haqqani emphasized the Taliban would not negotiate with the international community. Don't sit on the hopes of others. There are some talk saying accept this and we will accept that with you. If we had accepted these with you, we would have not fought you for the last 20 years. We accept but based on the Islamic and national principles, Haqqani insisted. Follow Francis Martel on Facebook and Twitter.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fans League Radio Show with your host, Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think, bud?
There won't be no change there. It'd be like it was a number of years ago. There'd be no schools for the girls. They'll be brutalised like they always have been. And you think things are going to change? You think the Taliban are going to change? Of course they're not. Of course they're not. They're thugs like they've always been. You can't change a thug to be a good boy. You just can't do that. Not with these warriors or whatever you want to call them. This is the way that they've continued. They've seen off the Russians, they've seen off the Americans, they've seen off us. So don't think that they're not used to the war. They are true warriors. And then you speak to anybody, especially, Americans and the British, they will tell you that they're the hardest people to beat. And they try time and time again, but they've never been able to defeat them. They always managed to recircle and come back again as strong as they was before. So I'm just saying, nothing's going to change. Don't forget, what we're talking about is Islamic death cult. Things never change. They've been going on like they've been going on for 1400 years. You think that we point a finger and say, you're a naughty boy, you've got to stop this, you've got to let the girls be taught and that. And they're just saying, putting them at their finger up, saying, spin on it. Because that's what they're really saying. Come on, guys. It's all right you pouring money into them and all that, but nothing's going to be the change. It's trying to bring barbarians into civilization. And these are not willing to go. That's why they fought us over 20-odd years. That's the truth behind it. With that, Dave, back to you, because it's got to be said, we can't play, well, it's quite obvious that Biden, you know, he done the cow's way and pulled people out, and that's where the chaos is, sadly. That's what we got. That's what you get with having a woke president. Back to you, Dave.
Well, Jeff, I can't disagree with any of that, and yeah, you're right. And yeah, he pulled people out, except for some of the Americans that he left behind there. So yeah. we can never forget them. Yeah, but guys, as this year goes on, we're going to cover other stories that have to do with Islam and things of that nature. We might even do some educational things, as has been done in the past, because there are some new listeners and things of that nature. And Islam, guys, is anything but a loving religion. It is there only for the Shaheeds, only for the people who are willing to fight and die to create more Islam. Tim Burton, who used to be a team member here, used to say that Islam is only good for making more Islam. And there's never been a truer word spoken. And that's what they're about. And we're going to continue to call them on, as Jeff says, their barbarity. And Jeff, it's been a great show. I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you, Biggie, in the chat, and I appreciate all you listeners. Guys, you've heard me do my shameless plugs throughout the show, so you know where to find me. And, Jeff, the jam is up.
You plugged it yourself, did you, Dave? No.
That's
shameless to do, Frank. No, Dave, not you.
Yeah, but follow Jeff Mitchell, Nightlight 777 on Getter, and I'm also UBG contact on Getter, and you'll find links to our shows and things of that nature that we both do, and yeah, it's been a great show, and I hope, guys, that we've managed to kind of shine a little bit of light onto what these World Economic Forums, the kind of hell on earth they want to create. And with that, Jeff, the jam is up on the stage. They're ready to go.
I just want to say, Dave, sorry to interject. I just want to say, like yourself, the show, as I just say, I've had a few minor health issues earlier, but when I've been sitting here, I've recovered, and I feel all right now. So I just want to let you know, Dave, for the rest of our listeners, hopefully I'll get something sorted out this week. So just anybody thinking, well, what's going on? Yeah, I've got a few issues that I've been dealing with, but thank goodness I've got my wingman, Dave, has been up to the spot and doing his thing. But yeah, thanks, Dave, for what you said. I stand with you with everything you said, and, you know, there's always going to be those that think that they can, you know, maybe make the Taliban behave themselves. You will never do that. They will keep fighting you and fighting you. You give up in the end. It weren't them. You gave up. So anyway, Dave, thanks a lot for tonight. And once again, yes, I know the jammer there. They keep flashing me a smile, Dave, you know. I know, lad. Anyway, Dave, thanks, mate, for the great slides and the great script for this evening. Bigfoot, as you, it's so nice to see you in the chat this evening. God bless you. But with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you so we can play our list, great listeners out there tonight. Back to you, Dave.
All right, yeah, and that's just about it for my finals, except, guys, when you're doing, saying your prayers tonight, share one or spare one for Jeff. He's having a little bit of issues with his breathing and with a stupid drugstore that needs to do their deliveries better. That's annoying to me. All right, guys. love you guys, and I just want to say be prosperous, be blessed, and as always, no surrender ever. I'm done talking, and the jam is going to start playing. Good night, Jeff.
Cheers, guys. See you next week. They're giving this away, Dave. Just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, right, I'm just going to call a halt to the show for this evening. I've got to thank you all for listening. You might be listening on other devices, but we know that you're listening to us, and we do appreciate you. You know, if there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. So thank you for your continuing support with what we do and what we say, because you are getting you do get the truth. And it might be a bit rough around the edges, but we tell you the way things really are. So with from myself and from my great wingman, Dave, who's once again done a great script and great slides for this evening, we'll say this. This is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight, and we'll see you again next week. And thanks a lot, Bigfoot, for joining us this evening as well. Appreciate it. With that, we'll see you again next week. Take care, stay safe, and no surrender ever. Good night, everybody. God bless.